If you have, if you've only been coming to our church for maybe a couple weeks, couple months, maybe the one of the things that you'll realize is that we really love the Bible. Is that a good thing? So we really love the scriptures. We really encourage you to be involved in the scriptures individually. We challenge you to get involved in applying the scriptures to your life, but also to learning the scriptures together. And whether that's in a small group in the middle of the week or coming to Sunday school or the Institute, it's a great way for you to learn more about the scriptures and more about applying it to life, because what we're talking about here, you know, when you think about what it means to really be a Christian, what we're talking about is following Jesus. Followers of Jesus do what? Follow Jesus, right? Yeah, so followers of Jesus follow Jesus. And the theme verse for this series really comes out of 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. Let's just read this together. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And so, in essence, what this is saying is that those who admit, who say that they are followers of Jesus, they're saying that they walk as Jesus walked, and they're living as Jesus lived. And the way that we're going about that right now over the next couple months, October, November, leading up into our Advent series, is to go through the Gospel of Mark. And we've been encouraging you to read a couple chapters a week leading up to it. So this past week, we encouraged you either individually or as a couple or as a family to be reading Mark chapter 3 and chapter 4. This morning, we will be looking at Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And I not only want to encourage you to be like Jesus, but to heal like Jesus. We walk like Jesus. We walk into a room to heal like Jesus. And we're going to find in this scene Jesus walking into a certain place to heal a certain person. You know, it's interesting. Our culture is so technologically advanced, and there are advances in health care that we are living longer, but are we living well? We're so advanced in a sense as a culture, but we're also so broken. We spent the past day and a half with friends at Taylor University for a family and friends weekend and got to spend some time with Christy. And, you know, to catch up with old friends that some we hadn't seen since graduation, others we've been able to keep in touch with through Facebook. But there are, you know, we have all of these advances to kind of keep us connected with each other, and yet we are still so broken, and even more so, even now, even in our culture, so in need of healing. Lives need healing. Relationships need healing. You know, we're all broken on some level. We've sung songs that talk about the brokenness that we have in our lives and how we come to Jesus Christ for healing of that brokenness. And Jesus understood this. I thank God that Jesus loved spending time with sinners, amen? Because that would mean that he likes spending time with me, and he likes spending time with you as well. He spent time with those who knew they needed to be healed. Why don't you repeat after me? I need healing. I'm glad some of you didn't say you need healing, Johnny, but it was I do. But in Mark 2:16, Jesus was asked, if you remember this, we were just in this, in chapter 2, verse 16, Jesus was asked why he ate with sinners. And what they fail to recognize is that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. We are all broken and in need of healing. We need Jesus' touch on an individual level. All of us are broken and in need of wholeness. All of us are sick and in need of a doctor. Jesus said that he came not for those who are whole and those who are well, but those who are sick. Why don't you turn to someone and say, I need a doctor. You didn't want to say that, did you? Because the other person goes, oh, I know that one, yeah. You might need a shrink, I don't know. But, you know, we all need healing. And, you know, it's interesting that even the author of this gospel knew how messy life could get. Relationships can get messy, right? Relationships are in need of healing as well. Mark was also known as John Mark, and he was the cousin of Barnabas. And he accompanied Barnabas and Paul on their first missionary journey. At some point on that journey, Mark went back home to Jerusalem. We don't know what the reason is, but when Paul and Barnabas are planning their second missionary journey, Barnabas wants to take Mark again, and Paul doesn't want to take him. And Acts 15 notes that there is such a sharp disagreement between Barnabas and Paul that they split ways, and Paul takes Silas with him, and Barnabas takes Mark with him. And I like Barnabas. He lives up to his name. It's actually a nickname because his name means son of encouragement. He's a guy who gives second chances. He's a man who came alongside of Paul when nobody else believed that there was a transformation in Paul's life. And Barnabas comes alongside of him and gives Paul a second chance. And people start believing that the transformation that had happened in Paul from the inside out was true, because they knew and they loved Barnabas. And here Barnabas, again, is doing what Barnabas does, and he gives second chances. I love guys like Barnabas who give second chances, don't we all? Don't we all need people in our lives who would give us a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance? You know, we go on and on and on. But Barnabas is like that. He gives second chances because we all need second chances. Over the long haul, we see that Barnabas's decision to come alongside of Mark is the best one, because Paul himself would later write to Timothy and talk about Mark being useful to him in ministry. And in Colossians chapter 4, Paul would commend Mark to the Colossians and ask them to welcome him warmly. Repeat after me: relationships can be messy. And I was tempted to have you tell your neighbor that, but it's possible the two of you already know how messy relationships can get. If you're in a relationship with anybody for any length of time, any relationship can get messy, and any relationship can be broken on some level, and any relationship needs Jesus. Any life needs Jesus. Relationships need healing. Memories need healing. The past needs healing. We all need healing. So there's a scene in Mark chapter 3, and I'd invite you to turn there. And one of the things that I want you to catch is this: when you are so caught up in accusing others, you miss opportunities to heal others. When you are so caught up in accusing others, you miss opportunities to heal others. There are three kinds of people that I want you to watch for in this passage: the healer, the broken, and the accuser. Now, I've personally added another person into that group, because I would imagine that just as there are today, and I've been one of them, that it was even true back then in the days of coming to synagogue, that you also had the consumer. Now, so again, the healer, the broken, the accuser, and then the consumer. And before we go there, I'm not going to be pointing fingers at you, but maybe just point one finger, and that's going to be at me, because I've been all four of these. I've been the healer, as you would expect a pastor to be, that, you know, I've walked into church and I've walked in and I've wanted to pray with people. I've walked in wanting to listen to what's going on in your world and in your life. But I've also come into church broken. I've needed the encouraging word. I've needed to have somebody come alongside and say, "Hey, Johnny, how can I be praying for you?" I've even walked into church needing the encouragement from my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've been the healer. I've been the broken. And I've been the accuser. There are times where I'll walk into church, and because maybe of a past disagreement, I'll think through in my mind, and I think we all do this, but we have these disagreements that take place in our minds, don't we? We have these arguments that take place in our minds that may never happen in reality. And so there have been times in the past where it's like, okay, I really want to avoid that person before worship, or else I know my day is not going to be set off right. I can be the accuser. I can be the healer. I can be the broken. I can be the consumer. I mean, there were times when I would go to church just to go to church for me. I'd go to church like I shop. You know, I get in, I get it, and I get out, right? You know, that's it. And so I go in, I get my fix for the week, and then I take off. And sometimes I might say hi to the same people that I say hi to every single week, but a lot of the times I don't want to get any deeper than that. I don't want to get more involved in that, and so I'm out the door. The healer, the broken, the accuser, the consumer. I was talking this over with Chris this week, and she said that she can be all four people at the same time. That's multiple personality syndrome. But I think we all can, and my hope for all of us is this, that we would accuse less and encourage more, that we would take less and give more, that we would hurt others less, and that we would heal others more. And we all need healing on some level. And I'm not saying that all of us are going to come here and that we don't need healing. But I'm saying this, that can you, at the same time that you're coming to the healer for healing, could you also offer healing to someone else? I know you might be going through something, but also know that somebody else is going through something as well. And it's quite possible that somebody else is going through the same something that you're going through. And so we all need one another, no matter whether you are healed at this moment or you are being healed. Can we all look beyond what we need so that we can then go and heal others? So I want to read Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It starts off by saying another time, which means that this was Jesus' practice, right, of going to synagogue. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Stop there for a second. A lot of times, if you had something going on physically, whether it's some kind of physical disease, shriveled hand, whatever it might be, the belief was, they thought, which wasn't true, that it meant God's disapproval. That if I'm going through this, it means that God must not be happy with some area of my life. Do you remember the man born blind and the disciples coming up to Jesus and they asked him, Lord, who sinned? His parents or was it him? Jesus was like, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the fact that we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world and everything is broken. And so here's this man, and we don't know whether or not he, he's got this shriveled hand, and maybe he's got it hidden, you know, in his cloak so that nobody knows. But you know what I like about this guy? He's there. And he doesn't allow what he's going through to keep him from gathering together with his faith family. He's got something going on. All of us have something going on if we care to admit it or not. A lot of times we want to hide it. But here this man is in his community. In Luke's gospel, it says his right hand. Now, I like that because Luke is a physician. And I'm glad when physicians know which hand you need to work on, right? You know, you got to have surgery on the left so they mark it so that they know that you've got to perform surgery on the left hand instead of the right hand. Because there have been cases where they've gotten it wrong, you know. So I'm glad that Luke is specific about which hand is shriveled. But so the man with the shriveled hand was there. And this next verse astounds me. It says some of them, it's not all of them, but some of them were looking for a reason to accuse. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. You're coming to synagogue. Jesus is there. And some of them are looking to accuse Jesus. And what are they looking to accuse him of? So they watched him closely to see if he would heal. Oh, it's terrible. Jesus, healing again. Oh, can't believe it. Right? I'm coming to synagogue. And I'm going to be looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. Will Jesus heal on the Sabbath? And this word accuse is the word categorio, where we get our word category. And it's placing people in categories, putting people in categories, putting people in boxes. And it's the same word that is used of Satan's purpose, which I will get to in a moment. And I see this is what was going on. So they're watching Jesus closely to see if he would heal this man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath, because that was the big debate of the time. How much can you do on Sabbath? Can you do this? Can you do that? Well, okay, you could stop somebody from bleeding, but you can't perform surgery yet. You could do this, you can do, you know, so they're going through in their minds, and they're having these big debates about what you can do on Sabbath and what you can't do on Sabbath. And a lot of times what they were doing was adding man's law after man's law after man's law after man's law on top of God's law. Remember what they were asking Jesus, you know, what's the most important law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It keeps it simple, right? Relationship keeps things simple. Religion makes things difficult, and it keeps adding on and adding on and adding on. And they were debating about what you could do on Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. How many of you would love for me to do that right now? What you've got going on in your life right now, I know, and so I'm going to have you come on up, and I'm going to reveal that to everybody else. Granted, this guy's just got a shriveled hand, right? But I, who knows how he felt about this? Who knows whether he's there, but maybe he was kind of in the corner. We don't know. But Jesus has him come and stand in front of everyone, and he asks them. He asks the church, which is lawful on the Sabbath? The big debate. To do good or do evil, to save life or to kill, but they remained silent. What this tells me is he's demanding an answer from them. Give me an answer. I want to know the answer. What's good for us to do on the Sabbath? You know, is it good to do evil or to do good? Is it good to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent, and then Jesus, our sweet and gentle Jesus, he looks around at them in anger. Anger's not wrong. What you do with anger is wrong. I sometimes do dumb things when I'm angry. Anybody ever been there, done that? Jesus doesn't do dumb things when he's angry. And not only is he angry, but he's deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And he says to the man, he doesn't touch him. He doesn't lay hands on him. Doesn't do anything. He just says, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. You know, I don't know what this guy's hand looks like, how shriveled up it is. But I've got a pretty advanced imagination. I can imagine that as he's stretching his hand out, you just hear all of these bones and tendons coming back into place, and it's like crackle, 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 right? My mom can't stand it when I crack my knuckles. Anybody? Are you there with my mom? So, you know, I don't want to do that around mom because I don't want to make mom mad. But, you know, I could just imagine the sounds that a hand makes when it goes from being shriveled to being restored. Says he stretched it out and his hand was what? Completely restored. And this amazes me. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. You know, sometimes the meeting doesn't happen at the meeting. Whether it's business or church, it doesn't matter. Nobody's got the ownership of this. But, you know, the meeting rarely happens at the meeting. The meeting usually happens before the meeting. The meeting usually can happen after the meeting, but rarely does a meeting happen at the meeting. And so they end up having this meeting, and I guess that it's okay for them to plot the death of the Messiah, but it's not right for the Messiah to heal others. And I find it amazing how some people could walk into synagogue that Saturday morning and the sole reason for them to go was to find something wrong with somebody else, to accuse another person. I thank God that there was at least one person, and there was Jesus himself, who walked into that synagogue that Saturday morning looking for someone to heal, someone to bless, someone to encourage, someone to pray with. And I'm so grateful that there was at least one healer in the audience. And why is that? Because there was at least one man who needed healing on that Saturday morning. There was at least one man who needed a touch from God. Maybe he's been coming to synagogue year after year after year. Maybe he's been praying to God that God would do something with this shriveled hand. Maybe he's just accepted his lot in life. But he's been coming. He's been coming faithfully and has been wanting a touch from God. And at this moment, he gets a touch. And there's one person who stands up and he heals him. there's at least one person in synagogue that Saturday morning who needed a healing. Were there more? We don't know. And I wonder if it's because that there was a group there, that there was a group of accusers looking for someone to accuse. There were a group of consumers who were looking just to simply get something for themselves and then to leave that Saturday morning. But you had one healer. You had one person healed that day. Is it possible that more people could have been healed if more people were looking to do the healing? What could have happened had more people come in to encourage instead of accuse? Or what could have happened had more people come in to give instead of consume? What could have happened had more people looked beyond their own need for healing? And I'm not saying that there weren't people in the synagogue that day that didn't need healing and that it wasn't valid. I'm just saying that, is it possible that they could have looked beyond their own healing in order to heal someone else? Do you get where we're going this morning? I find it amazing how some people can walk into church on a Sunday morning and their sole purpose for coming is just to accuse someone, where their minds are only on that one thing that's wrong. Or they're looking for the things that are wrong. They're looking for things that are wrong in other people. They're looking to tear down instead of to lift up. Some people get so good at picking out the negative things and to accuse that they begin to think that that's their spiritual gift. If you think that accusation is actually your spiritual gift, you might want to question what spirit it is that is living within you. Revelation 12:10. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser, same word. The accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses, same word, who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. When your first impulse is to accuse, just think for a moment who's influencing you to accuse someone else. When you walk into church, are you walking in to bless or to accuse? Are you walking in to give or to consume? Are you walking to receive healing, but then also to give healing as well? And I am so grateful that we have people in our church that look for others to heal on a Sunday morning. They don't just sit in the same spots. They sit with others so that, especially if somebody's new, to welcome them and to make sure that they feel a sense of being welcomed here. That there are people who come in on a Sunday morning and they're looking for people to encourage. They're looking for people to pray with. And why would that be necessary? Because there's at least one of us, me, there's at least one of us who needs healing. There's at least one of us who needs encouragement. There's at least one of us who needs someone to pray with them. There are people who walk into our church who need to be healed. There are people who walk in and they go, Lord, I can't just play church today. I can't just sing songs like I sing songs off the radio. This has to mean something to me. I want there to be a connection. I want there to be relationship between us as I'm singing these songs or I'm praying these prayers or as I'm writing down these notes. I need your touch. I can't just play church today. Because there are some people who walk in to church and they've got withered hope. They've got withered heart. Maybe a withered body, but maybe they need a touch from Jesus the healer because something else has shriveled up in their lives. Some of us want the physical healing. Some of us need that physical healing. Some of us, though, need to be healed of self-righteousness. The ones who stood in accusation in Jesus' day, as well as those in our own day, need to be healed of self-righteousness. Some of us need to be healed of selfishness. That if we're the consumers, and we're just, all we're doing is walking in to receive something from ourselves and then walking back out again, we need to be healed of selfishness. Or maybe some of us need to be healed of self-pity, that we have a really hard time looking beyond what we need and the healing that we need in order to heal someone else. But what would happen if more of us walked into church? We're talking about walking with Jesus. How many of us, just like Jesus walking into synagogue, what would it mean for us if more of us walked into church, walked into the room to heal instead of to hurt? Jesus, if you remember this, one of the things that I wanted to do is give you kind of three steps in terms of how we go from hurting to healing, how we go from consuming to giving. And the first thing that I wanted to have you do is just to admit you're sick and in need of healing. Admit that we are sick and in need of healing. Jesus, earlier in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, says, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And you see, the problem with those who were asking the question is that they were probably more sick than those sinners Jesus was spending time with, because they didn't care to admit how sick they were. Earlier in Mark, we saw how thousands were coming out to the Jordan River to confess their sins and to be baptized. They recognized that they needed transformation. They needed a change. They needed to repent. They confessed their sins, admitting that they were sick, admitting that they needed a touch from God. So when you remember all that God has forgiven you of, maybe you'll be more likely to offer forgiveness to someone else. When you remember how merciful God has been to you, maybe you'll extend mercy to someone else. When you realize how much love and grace God has given you, maybe you'll be more gracious in the relationships around you and be more loving with those around you. So admit your own need of healing and then go to the healer. Jesus not only healed on the Sabbath day, but he also stated his mission on the Sabbath day. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, he had gone to Nazareth, his hometown where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll where he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You know you need healing. Jesus is saying to you this morning, extend that withered part of your life to me and find the healing that you need. Extend your shriveled heart to me. Extend that withered part of your life to me and be healed. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring you good news. Last week, we talked about it being great news. It's great news that Jesus brought to us. And in your spiritual poverty, God wants to pour out his riches of love and grace to you. And he wants to set you free from your sin, from your past, from what's going on, your memories, your fears, and he wants you to see. He wants you to have the spiritual blinders taken off so that you can see him. Admit your own need of healing. Go to the healer and follow him in healing others. Jesus' invitation wasn't just for them to follow him. Do you remember earlier in Mark, in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were casting nets into the lake, and Jesus says, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He was inviting them not just to follow him, but to follow him in capturing the lives of other people who needed healing. Come follow me, and come follow me as we catch others together. Keep in mind your own need for healing. Come to me for healing. Come with me to capture others in need of healing. Walk into a room to bless others. Walk into school looking to heal someone. Walk wherever you're walking, whether it's a restaurant, back at home, no matter where you are, walk into these places looking for that one person that Jesus wants you to touch, one person that Jesus wants you to pray with, one person that Jesus is saying, "You know what? They're struggling. I just want you to encourage them. I want you to ask what's going on in their world, in their lives. I know you're coming to me for healing as well, but look beyond your own healing and look to those that I want to touch through you. Come, follow me, for I will make you fishers of people." The tail end of that verse, Jesus tells the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. As we sing this song, just connect with your Lord and stretch out that area of your life where you need restoration. Just as this man's hand was completely restored, the Lord wants to bring complete restoration to a relationship, to your past. Stretch out that area of your life for Jesus, the healer, to heal you.